Time Elliot Friedman back from Hockey Night in Canada and 32 Thoughts. How was your non-week week off, Elliot?
I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't even remember a week off.
That's it, right? Like the days feel like weeks and the weeks feel like months. And here we are, you know, once again. And I said off the top, I'm going to really try to keep the COVID talk to a minimum.
I agree with you. I was talking to someone this morning and he said his entire goal is to move past COVID in 2022. And I said, that is such an admirable goal. Yeah. I don't see how it's going to be possible, but yeah. I would wish I could say the same thing.
I can't completely ignore it because that would be a dereliction of duty, I think, on the show. But I'm going to try to minimize it as much as I can. I'm not going to let it dominate the program. So in that spirit, as we kick off here on the show this week, there's some teams that are looking for, you know, new management hires here, whether it's Montreal, Anaheim, Vancouver, and Chicago. And I do want to get into the Dallas situation. They announced Steve Greeley coming in as the director of hockey strategy, scouting, and development. More on Greeley here in a couple of seconds. But I'm going to talk to Engels in hour two. But from your point of view,
My condolences on that.
Listen, he's a regular here, and I love the guy. Montreal, we've heard a lot of the names, and you've talked about Kent Hughes before, the agent, who may be considered the preferred candidate for Jeff Gorton. We'll hear a lot about Daniel Briere and Matthew Darche, we already have. We'll hear more about Roberto Luongo. We may hear more about people like Emily Castonguay, for example, who's an agent, represents Alexis Lafreniere. Jeff Gorton wants to get this going in the new year. It's the new year. It's starting to roll. Do we have any idea of a timeline in Montreal?
No, I think that, the one thing, too, is that I don't necessarily think Montreal's in a rush. Like, one of the, because they have Gorton, right? They can make a lot of their decisions. He can make a lot of their decisions. He doesn't need to rush into someone. You know, I look at some of these other situations, Vancouver, for example, they don't need to rush. I think the one thing I think about Rutherford is he likes to move quick. He doesn't like to wait. And so I think that their timeline will be a little faster, but it's not like they need to because he's there and he's going to be making a lot of the decisions. So I look at Gorton in Montreal and Rutherford in Vancouver, and I see, you know, even though you're still talking about hiring a general manager, your top decision maker from the hockey point of view was already there. I think Chicago and Anaheim are a little bit different. I do think that Kyle Davidson likely keeps a role in Chicago, but I'm not sure yet how the whole setup is going to work. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see how that goes. And the other one I'm curious about is Anaheim, because I think they have a lot of big decisions to make. You know, that's the one I'm most curious about, because they do have hockey people there. Solomon Nonis, for example. But they're going to be looking. And secondly, they have some big calls to make. They have Manson, they have Lindholm, they have Raquel, and their head coach needs an extension. So those are the ones I think I'm more curious about the timeline.
I want to go back to Vancouver here quickly. Patrick Alvin is someone that we've talked about plenty here on the program, on the podcast as well. Any other names we should be aware of in the Vancouver search?
I wonder about a guy like Scott Mellenby. That's another name I'm wondering about there.
Right.
I can't remember who Rutherford said this to. This whole last week has been a blur, but apparently he has indicated that it's probably going to be someone getting their first opportunity. So I do wonder about Mellenby. That's a name that makes some sense to me. I know there's been some speculation about Chris McFarland out there. I don't believe that that'll be the case from Colorado. I think Alvin is a good name. I think that Mellenby potentially is a good name. I'm still wondering where Ryan Johnson's going to end up in all this, because I think that the organization sees him as a valuable person to keep and lean on. Those are some of the names I'm kind of looking at out there.
Do you have a thought? Just sticking with Vancouver.
By the way, on Montreal, the other name I mentioned on the podcast today was Daniel Dore.
Yes.
Former first-round draft pick of the Nordiques who worked with Gorton in the Rangers. I think I wouldn't be surprised if he's on their radar. And, you know, some people have told me I should keep looking.
Just as an aside, I really liked Dore as a junior. I thought he was like big and tough and could score. It was like a fifth overall pick as well. I really liked Dore. You know, Jim Rutherford, you know, there's an interesting interview that he did with Patrick Johnston of the Province, and where he talked about, you know, a number of different departments, you know, needing to be staffed here. Whether it's Montreal or whether it's Vancouver, those two sort of tied together in some ways. Do we have any idea how many hires we're looking at here for both these organizations?
In Vancouver, you mean, or Montreal?
Well, both.
Well, I think Vancouver. I don't have a great answer for you on that. It's a good question because Vancouver already has a lot of people there, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, at least one. I don't know that there'd be any more than that. Montreal, well, they've got to run their scouting department. They already have a good AGM there in John Sedgwick.
Yep.
You know, it sounds like to me the question is what is Vancouver going to do with its scouting staff? Because Montreal, we already know that they need a new head of scouting, amateur scouting, and they're looking for a GM. Maybe in Vancouver, the question is, do we have the full picture yet of how many changes there's going to be?
Mm-hmm. You know, I was sort of under the impression that there was going to be a GM hire and then perhaps as many as two, dare I say, three assistant GM hires as well.
Well, he's already hired one, right?
He's hired one.
Yeah.
My only question was, will there be more assistant hires? I don't know. But it sounded in the Johnston piece like, you know, there's going to be a lot of staffing. Excuse me, a lot of staffing.
Well, because I think what you're wondering about is the scouting department.
You know, it's part of it. You know, yeah.
Montreal made scouting changes already. We know they need a head of amateur scouting. So, you know, and then you start to look at, okay, once a new person comes in, are they going to bring in anybody with them or are they going to make more changes? So, like, the only reason I'm unsure of the answer is I just don't know how many changes they need to make.
Right. So let me get you to Dallas here then.
Okay.
We talked about this on the podcast. We've mentioned it previously. The Dallas Stars a couple of hours ago announcing the hiring of Steve Greeley. Now, many will remember Steve as the assistant general manager of the Buffalo Sabres. Did some work at Daily Faceoff before the Buffalo Sabres was with the New York Rangers organization. So he gets hired, and here's the title, which leads me to believe he's going to be involved in all decisions.
Yeah.
Director of Hockey Strategy / Scouting and Development. That to me says Steve Greeley is going to have input on everything. Is this, in your estimation, a changing of the course of how they do business in Dallas?
I would think so. I think it's, you know, I think that, you know, the Stars are a really interesting team. They spend. There's no question about that. Like, you look at their contracts, they spend, and they go to the Stanley Cup final in the bubble year, and I just get the sense that they kind of look at their group and say, are we as good as the sum of our parts? And, you know, they play hard. They got a lot of talented players. I think, but they also have a lot of big decisions to make. Like, look at the contracts that are up this year. Joe Pavelski, still a very big part of their team. Klingberg, you look at the defensive salaries that free agents have been getting. And, you know, it doesn't sound to me like him and the Stars are anywhere close on a deal. And, you know, Holtby, you know, like, Dallas is going to have some very interesting decisions to make. And we already know they've been frustrated at times with how they've played this year. So to me, this is about a fresh idea of how we're going to look at things. Now, Jim Nill is still the GM. He's in charge. But I think, to me, this looks like we want a kind of different way of looking at some of the things and some of the processes we're using. And I don't know what the full impact of this is going to be yet, but I think it is a signal that the Stars want to look at things a little differently.
See, to me, they're going to be one of the more fascinating teams come trade deadline time. But only if they're out of it. Like, if the Dallas Stars turn around and rip off, you know, go like 12 for their next 15, then I think that, you know, everything's cool and they're headed to the playoffs and there's the expectation from the owner that they have a deep run based on the spending and based on how he's, you know, the owner has given what the owner has given the general manager. But man, if things go really sour here in the new year and the Dallas Stars bottom out, I wonder what happens to those players he just mentioned. Like, I wonder what happens to those players on expiring contracts, whether it's Pavelski, whether it's Klingberg, or whether it's Braden Holtby. Like, you look at the future of the Dallas Stars and you say, all right, do they have the goaltender? They seem to have the goaltender in Jake Oettinger. They have a blue line that'll be led by Miro Heiskanen for the next 10 years. They do have young players up front, whether it's, you know, Roope Hintz. I know they're still, you know, waiting for Denis Gurianov to really happen. But then there's, you know, your Jason Robertsons of the world. Like, there are players there. There are young players, and Thomas Harley's on the horizon too on the back end. Like, there are players that are on the horizon. But if they bottom out come trade deadline time, Elliot, all bets are kind of off, aren't they?
Well, I think that, like, I always believe that play determines what you do, right?
Yeah.
You know, Dallas, like we said, they were disappointed this year. They were disappointed with the way they started. They've been hit by a big outbreak. I saw that about 10 guys have just come off the COVID list for them today. So it sounds like they're getting close to being ready to play again. The math is decent for them. Like, them in Colorado have a lot of games to make up. That means that Dallas is going to be playing a lot of games over the Olympic break. And you know, we have to win those games. They're going to be in a position where they're going to be able to make up some ground over some of the teams that are ahead of them in the standings. You know, but that said, you've got to win those games. They've worked themselves into a bit of trouble. Like, I just don't see them adding this year, is what I would say, Jeff.
I don't think they have room to add.
Well, the thing is, you can always move out and in. Like, at that point in time, you're going to have options, and teams will, if you're willing to pay a good enough price, teams will facilitate you doing that. However, I see a situation where if Dallas does anything, they decide, okay, we're going at it with this group, or we're selling off. And I wonder if they look at it and say, look, if we have to move Pavelski, if we have to move Klingberg, we can get good pieces for them, and we can use it to fill up our holes quickly. That's what I kind of wonder about. And that's why I think the hiring of Greeley is so interesting, because it comes at a time where the Stars are going to have to make big decisions about the path of their franchise.
Yep. Real quick note here. Oilers and Rangers, the only game on the board tonight from around the NHL. No Connor McDavid at the skate this morning, but as Gene Principe reports, Dave Tippett saying, quote, just resting, saving his energy. He will be in tonight.
Yes.
The Oilers have hit a little bit of a speed wobble here. I don't think that we thought that they were playing, you know, they'd be playing sub 600 level hockey this deep into the season, but here we are. What are your thoughts on the Oilers right now? Like, the coaching thing is a conversation point. The goaltending is always a conversation point. And, you know, surrounding, you know, two Hart Trophy candidates is another conversation point here for the Oilers.
You know, one of the things I think that Ken Holland does best is shut out the noise. I don't think he worries too much about what is being said. I think that he kind of just says, like, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to attack things a certain way. You know, one story I remember a few years ago was, and I still kind of feel bad about it to this day, was on, this was about probably about 5 years ago, when he was still the GM in Detroit, and Jeff Blashill was coaching, and there were a lot of rumors that Blashill was in trouble. And I mentioned that on Hockey Night. And one of the things that Holland said to me was, I'm not going to do it. And he didn't do it. And there was a lot of noise about doing it, and he didn't do it. And obviously Jeff Blashill is still coaching the Red Wings today. And, you know, I felt that, you know, I wanted to reach out to him after the report that they were talking to Babcock, because I'd heard similar rumors, and he threw cold water on that. And, you know, I mentioned it on Saturday during the regional broadcast, and I mentioned it during our podcast today. You know, the one thing I think about Edmonton is missing the playoffs is not an option. It's not an option. So I'm looking at this and I'm saying, okay, Mike Smith was already out day to day and he missed a good chunk of time. And, you know, they're getting caved 2-1 when McDavid and Draisaitl are not on the ice. You know, the thing is, and I like, there's deals I think you make. Like when you think you can win the Stanley Cup, you're trading, say, a first rounder for a rental D or a rental forward. I don't know if you can do that to save a playoff berth for the Oilers, but what I do think is you cannot let this season slip away. There's too much at stake. And sometimes the hardest thing to do is, if you think you've got the right mix, is to wait it out. And it's so difficult right now, Jeff, because, you know, we're in Omicron in the middle of all of this too, and it's going to affect all teams. I don't think anybody's getting away from this. Mm-hmm. But I just think at the end of the line, Edmonton cannot afford to miss the playoffs. It's just not an option for them. But I look at Holland, and I just think that this is a person who will decide what the right path is, and he won't be influenced by the noise. He will make the decision that he thinks is right for his team. And I think when you're in that chair, that's the way you have to do it.
Before we let you go here, and Doug Armstrong on the other side, St. Louis Blues general manager.
By the way, Amber and Engels are arguing that they should still determine who won this bet.
Well,
I don't
gonna
see
ask
the, any
I'm,
chance.
I'm gonna,
I heard
I'm
you say
ask
that.
Them. I'm going to ask
Do you think
them.
There's any chance that Armstrong's
no.
going to settle this for you?
No, not a chance. Not a chance. I got to be sneaky. I got to be really sneaky about it.
You should text him beforehand and offer him something as an incentive to settle this one way or another.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think there's any way. I don't even think he wants to open that door a sliver as to who is going to be on Team Canada. Not a chance. But I'm going to try. I'll use all of my Jeff Merrick charm, which is basically none, and see if Doug Armstrong will bite, whether Huberto is going to make it on the team. Personally, I think that he would have been. I'm a pro Huberto camp.
I would tend to agree with that. He was, you know, he was third in points last calendar year, right? 99. I saw the NHL release today, tied with Austin Matthews.
I know, and you look too. Like, I know there's going to be a lot of a lot of centers out of position pushed to the wing, but don't you need some natural position players out there too?
Isn't Jonathan Huberto
one of the elite of the elites there on that side?
The problem is, I don't know who I want to win this bet, like Amber or Engels. Neither one of them is deserving of victory.
Both would be insufferable with the victory laps, either privately and online as well. Who do you think would be less insufferable?
Neither. They're both insufferable. I'm just in a bad mood today because I got crushed in my fantasy football final.
I don't want anyone to win anything. All right. Give us a quick update then on trades you have your eyes on. I would imagine Jacob Chychrun of Arizona would be top of that list for the new year.
I think, yes, Chychrun is up there. I'm really curious to see, you know, when does Gorton really start to get into Montreal? Like, to me, Montreal is saying, okay, nobody's touching Suzuki, nobody's touching Caulfield. No, I don't think anyone's touching Romanov. But then, you know, who else is really untouchable there?
I would say you'd have a conversation about all of them, Elliot, and that includes Carey Price.
Well, I think at the end of the day, I think Price has to determine what his path back is going to be. If, you know, obviously he's got both physical and mental health issues he's working through, and that's the primary concern. But I think before you can even consider the possibility of that, you know, you've got to see when he's ready to play.
Here's another name. You mentioned Jacob Chychrun. Here's the same position, but different name, different spot in his career. Mark Giordano, Seattle.
Oh, I would think he's going to be moved. I would be surprised. I mean, I could always be wrong, but I would be surprised if they were going to keep him. I see that as a move at some point.
See, I'm curious about Giordano, like you. I'm curious about Chychrun because it's such a wonderful contract and he's such an outstanding player. And like everybody too, like I wonder where Marc-Andre Fleury is going to end up here.
Yeah, I think we're wondering if it's going to be Colorado.
Well, Colorado's got the goalie dilemma, and I would even submit the Edmonton Oilers too.
That's it. You know, I think we've all kind of wondered that.
We shall see. Okay.
I just want to say that thanks to all the people who said you can hear me texting while I'm on the radio. Like, I know I'm doing that, guys. You don't need to tell me.
I have I had one while we were talking. NHL e-bug who just texted me with a laughing face, Elliot just smashing his keyboard. So there you go. It's being heard loud around the NHL. As you were
That's why I moved off my phone into another onto another device, my iPad, so that people couldn't hear me get knocked out or texting anymore. And I guess this plan was not foolproof.
Yeah. Too bad. Everyone knows how grumpy you are on Mondays when you bottom out of fantasy football. There you go.
Terrible.
Poor
fella. Just a waste. The longer you go, the harder it is to lose. And I got crushed, too. Like, it's just,
oh, no.
It was over fast. It really sucks. I'm in a lot of pain today. It really hurting.
Tiny violin, Elliot.
First world problem.
Tiny violin. Okay, kitty cat. You go. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.